Well, Carl, you want to come up? For those of you who don't know who Carl is or have never seen this man before, him and Mel are dear, dear friends of ours. We love them to bits. And, you know, you guys are doing absolutely amazing things in Pioneer and across the nation. Carl helped lead the Pioneer team with Billy. And, yeah, it's great to have you with us.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen tonight because I planned this great word. It took me about 2 weeks to prepare. And then I had this series of dreams last night, and then 5 o'clock this morning I woke up, and everything I dreamt was totally different from what I had written down over the last 2 weeks. So I don't know where we're going to go, but I just got a sense that I was with Slough this morning. But I think for me, I feel you're at a time as a group of churches, and I was at Slough this morning and here tonight, and where I feel the Lord wants to remind you of his commitment towards you. You know, we do so much in our lives and in church where really it's about our faith, about how we position ourselves, what we do, what we believe, you know, how we serve the coffee, do the notices, all this sort of stuff. And yet I think we forget that actually the greatest story that's ever been written, which is from Genesis to Revelation, is about the pursuit of a God towards his humanity. That we can often believe that actually we're the ones pursuing him. And you know what, I'm not dissing the God chasers or anything like that. I love people that are passionate about going into depths and heights and widths of who God is, because he is such an amazing mystery to be found. However, the greatest story still being told is God is pursuing man. And I don't really mind how much you guys know or don't know, how deep you are with God. The truth of the matter is this, is that there is still more to encounter of him from him. And during the night, he took me through a series of dreams, and he just started taking me through different people within the Old Testament, because, you know, it's fascinating with the Old Testament. So often in New Testament church, of which we're part, we kind of end the Old Testament by saying, well, you know what, really there wasn't much prophecy in the Old Testament and things like this, because, you know what, when the prophet got it wrong, they killed him and all this. But actually, I feel what we're missing are the threads that come through the New Testament that show the nature of a New Testament God, because he's a God that never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And although he may have smited a few thousand people and things like this along the way, there are threads of God's nature of which Moses encountered on that amazing mountain that day when God revealed his glory. And the way he revealed his glory was in his goodness. And there are threads throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, where God has met individuals that, for me, all these threads, all of them, one by one, they lead and they come to a point where they're fully expressed in Christ. And it'd be remiss of us to look at the Old Testament and keep saying, well, that was the Old Testament. No, I'm on this journey at the moment where I'm digging through the Old Testament to find the nature of the God that came into my life and save me. And I love it, because I'm convinced of this, is as we see this, we see the commitment of the Father to humanity. And that is still the greatest story that is unfolding in the lives that are sat in the churches here today. Isn't that amazing? And for me, as we discover that, I'm convinced of this, that God's pursuit for humanity is one purpose alone, and that is that we would be a people that would remain with fully awakened hearts. I long to live like I saw last night with some of these saints of old, to live with an open heart that is so alive in Christ, because I'm convinced of this. If he gets the heart, he gets the person. I'm convinced of that's how he works. And I think of people like Enoch. Last night he just showed me Enoch. And it was amazing when you're trying to go through the story of Enoch. We often talk, well, there's a man who walked with God. But he didn't until he was in his 70s. He was the seventh generation from Adam. The stories must have been told of the times of what it was like to walk in the cool of the day with his great-great-great-great-grandfather. There must have been the stories coming along the way, but somewhere along the way, those stories got diluted, and they no longer meant anything to humanity. And then God begins to capture this man through one man, and he captures his heart by him becoming a father. Isn't that amazing? That God uses a natural event to capture the heart of one of his kids. And it says, as Enoch, my interpretation, held Methuselah in his arms, his heart was captured again with the things of God. And it said that he walked with God and was no more. And I get amazed when I look at Enoch's story, because through one man, can you imagine this, your life, that amazing girl that got saved on the Alpha course, just imagine this. It's so fresh and so new, and it's exciting to hear that excitement. Do you remember that? Do you remember when we used to talk about the Lord in those ways? It was as fresh yesterday as it is today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That we won't end up like in Ecclesiastes 12 when Solomon urges us to remember the God of our youth, because he said, because when trouble comes and stuff hits the fan, remember the God of your youth. Because when life hits and life comes, you'll wake up one day, it says, and remember those days no more. A generation was once born, in one generation that was once born that neither knew the ways or the works of God, because their hearts had stopped to be, were no longer awakened by the love of God. And I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person that wakes up every morning and my heart is moved towards God. I want to be fully alive. I want to be fully awakened. I want to be like Enoch, that can find this relationship with God, that walks with God. And what I love about Enoch's life, one man, I believe Enoch turned the tide of humanity in the Old Testament, because he was seventh generation, nobody walking with God. Then he began to walk with God. And his great-grandson was a man called Noah. Somehow Noah caught the heart of his great-great-grandfather. That Noah caught something of what it is to yield himself to God and have a fully awakened heart, because here he was for 120 years banging nails into wood or whatever it was they did in those days. For 120 years just to believe because God spoke. To be fully alive, to be fully awakened is to be fully alive. And there is so much more to Jesus. And I'm convinced of this for the church. When I hear things of Julian coming to do healing seminars and stuff like this, my heart gets excited. Because I truly believe this. If we capture these things, the benefactors of those seminars will be the humanity that live in Marlow. You see, when God fully awakens our hearts, the benefactors are the humanity that live around us. Because when he fully awakens our heart, we capture his heart. And his heart is still to pursue humanity. His heart is still for him to use you and I through this love relationship to walk into the areas where nobody else will go, as long as one person lives there. And I feel we're coming into a time, particularly for the churches in River, where I believe you're going to, and this is me stepping out, but I believe if you want this, you can begin to have a move of God that you guys have longed for. And you know what, when you say to yourself, I want a fully awakened heart, it's a big thing to say to God. Because you know what, Joseph had that. And in Psalm 105, it talks about how Joseph was given the word of God, the promise of God. And then the next line says this, but until it became fulfilled, the literal word of God tested him. See, it wasn't enough just to say, hey, I'm going to do this one day like he did to his brothers. You're all going to bow down to me. But God began to speak a promise into Joseph, because what happens with the promise is this. When God begins to speak a promise into your life and you begin to capture it inside you, it pulls you into the depths of who he is. Because a promise is only as good as the person that makes the promise. And the promise leads us into the person that makes them, because he is life. And I don't want us to fall in the trap and be in danger that we think at any one moment we can do this on our own. The best day on Alpha was the Holy Ghost day. Man, when was the last time you and I could say that? The best moment of today wasn't opening the Chardonnay, or the Sauvignon Blanc as it now is. It was actually because I had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Because he was reaching again into the depths of who I am. And then in my dream, I came across one of my heroes, which is Abraham. I love Abraham so much because, you know what I love about God is he doesn't hide their humanity. And he doesn't hide their humanity just to say, you know what, guys, look how they failed. What I believe is why he shows us their humanity, it shows us his commitment to them. when Moses encountered God on that amazing mountain that day, 40 years of wandering the desert, 14,600 days thinking he's a murderer, and he suddenly encounters God, and God speaks for the first time audibly in 350 years. And the first words out of his mouth for 350 years is, "Moses, Moses." He revealed himself as a father to a son. He could have said anything to Moses at that time, couldn't he? But he reached to him as only a father could, because it's the words of a father that bring us alive. And for the first time in 14,600 days, he heard God. And then God says, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I love that. You can have deep theology on it about the promise, but for me it's this. "Hey, Moses, welcome to the club of the men that failed me." But who's the constant? Who is the one that remained in their failure? It was God. Who's the one that reached out to Jacob when he was on the run, stealing his brother's inheritance? God reached into Jacob. Why? Because what he put inside Jacob was about to be a nation birthed. And God can't change his mind about what he's put inside us. That's why he still pursues us. And that's why I love Abraham's story so much. Sold his wife off twice as his sister. He even couldn't even have the patience to wait for the promise. So he went and got Hagar and had Ishmael. He pushed the boundaries within himself. And yet when we read Romans 4, read the story of a man that suddenly discovered the depths of God. And it says this, that Abraham became fully persuaded that God could do all that he could do. And the word persuaded means plerophoro in Greek, which means to be fully carried by what you have heard. You see, we can only ever be fully carried by what God has spoken over our lives. And I believe it's time here tonight to resurrect some of the promises that God has put within the people. We saw it this morning in Slough. I believe we're going to see it here tonight. And it positioned Abraham as he began to understand that he could be fully carried by what God said. He was able to look at his aging wife and not need the Viagra of the day, but just the promise of God, and saw it fulfilled. And it says this in verse 17 of Romans 4, that Abraham believed God. That's it. That's what it all means at the end of the day. When God has spoken promises over your life, they seem like they're beyond our reach. Well, they are, because they're sent from God. But a promise always has the ability to fulfill itself, because it's from the throne room of God. But Abraham believed God. Can you imagine what that would look like for your life tonight? To be able to say, "I believe God." And I know some of you, I've spoken to one or two before the meeting, some of you are in some tough situations. But let me tell you this, is that there's a promise within that situation to be found. Because God wants to capture our hearts again and bring us fully alive. See, I don't even think this building is enough for you. I'm going to say something, and I know you'll test and approve it and kick me if it's not right. But I believe this building was given to you to get you out of where you were. That's all. That's all it was. It was just to get you out moving again, because you got stuck as a church. But now the test is this. Will you still go for what God has spoken over this church over the decades, irrespective of the building fitting the bill? Because the building ain't the right fit. But are you still willing to believe in a God that says you could do this, irrespective of this building being enough? And I believe God's moved you out of a place, because he needed to move you, into a place where he's now testing the promise in your life. Crucible of silver, furnace of gold, but the Lord tests the heart. I believe God's saying to Marlo particularly, how serious are you about what I've said over this church? How can it that a man that lives in shorts end up leading churches together? How is it? Because do you know what? I sat with that man. I've sat with him in his front room as we looked out over the hills, over the downs or whatever it is. And we've sat there, and I remember this man in shorts just beginning to weep because he said, "Carl, there's something about hope. We need to get behind every door in this town." And do you know why he's got that job? Because he sensed something in the Spirit of God, and he was the man God chose. Now, you have a choice to be either say, this is an opportunity now for the benefactors of Pete Hopkinson's position to be the lives and the souls of every single person that lives in Marlow. Why not? And I believe God is going to start depositing and reminding promises that have been spoken over your life. Because you're in a time of testing to see if you'll believe them. And if you ever once say, but this does not fit, then I believe you're beginning to talk your way out of what a promise that God has spoken. Abraham's wife, her womb was as good as dead, if not dead. And yet the promise was there would be an heir. To come fully alive, we have to believe in the promises of God over our lives. It's all we've got. There are the fundamental, foundational promises. We're sons, we're daughters, we're heirs, co-heirs. I get all that. But I believe there's specific things that have been spoken, both individually and corporately, over this church. See, God can't forget what he's sown in your hearts all those years ago. So you never stop being a leader. You can't. It's an impossibility. It's not about leadership the way we saw it 20 years ago, but you can't stop being leaders. You can't stop being leaders in where God's placed you today, because when it's part of your DNA, it's part of your DNA. And it commands a blessing. See, the danger is when we just say, okay, we're happy now, that's enough. But I know it's never enough. In hearts like you two. Because I know the vision that God's given you has been vast. It's been broad. It's been wide. So why not, in this current day, begin to see it unfold in a fresh way? You'll probably never know the amount of people that you touch. You'll probably never know until you get to heaven. It's the truth. It's the nature of what you do. But let me tell you this. You've still got stories to be told that will change a generation. Do you know there are stories that are going to come out of you that, you know what, when this 5 or 6 year old or 12 year old or 14 year old reads, it'll be the story that pulled them into an encounter with God that rescued them. And put a foundation into their life that their parents and their peers couldn't give them. You have an opportunity to influence a generation. Amazing. Yeah. 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 I believe it. You see, something incredible happened in Abraham's story. You see, my discovery of threads of Jesus through the Old Testament. I mean, when you start flicking through the pages and reading between the lines, you start to see, you see God all over it. And I love this in Genesis 14, I think it is, where Abraham goes to rescue Lot. And he comes back and he's in the middle of the desert and he has an encounter with a guy called Melchizedek. A guy who had no beginning or no end, no ancestry. And yet was a priest, the King of Kings. And it says this is Old Testament, pre-Passover, okay? Before all that stuff had got written, it says this, that Melchizedek sat down with Abraham in the desert, Abraham as he was known then. And it says this, he broke bread and wine with Abraham in the desert. It's the first place you'll find that in Scripture. That's a New Testament thing, surely. Well, I think it's a God thing. That threads through from Jesus right through to the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? In the Old Testament. And then it says this, that Melchizedek got up to leave and he blessed the one who was full of promise. Wow. Can you imagine what that was like for Abraham? Not sure what this journey was all about. And then the priest, the Christ-like, the thread of God's nature into the Old Testament, into a desert, comes in and puts his hand on Abraham and says, I bless you, the one full of promise. He could have said anything to Abraham. But what is it? Why is it God comes and says, hold on to the promise, son. Hold on. Hold on. You know, Abraham saw wars. He saw famine. He saw despair. And yet the whole journey was to position him to believe in the one that makes the promise. And I believe what God wants to do here tonight is bless those who are full of promise. And I believe it would be like the promise is spoken for the first time again in your life. It would be like what he spoke all those years ago, months ago, weeks ago, days ago. He's speaking again. I don't know, you look familiar for some reason, I don't know why. You haven't been to prison, have you? No, I'm only joking. I saw you downstairs earlier on, and you just caught the corner of my eye. And I'm not sure, do you go here? I don't think you go here, do you? Do you go here? This church?
No.
No, I didn't think you did. You haven't got the mark on your head, so you're still smiling. No, I'm only joking. But I believe God wants to unlock some of the promises over your life. And the truth is this, you know, the promises don't get spoken when we're born again. They get spoken whilst we're in the womb of our mother. Because it's there that he knows us. That's the truth. We talk about all this stuff, but I'm convinced that whilst we're in the womb, God speaks and says, here, come on, come on. And I want you to know that there's a time coming upon your life very quickly, I believe, where God's going to reveal himself in the most amazing ways and open himself up to you into depths of who he is to reveal a promise to you. And you're going to stand there and you're going to go, what, me? Can I really be this father that he's telling me I can be? Yes, you can. You can, young man. And I pray wherever you and your wonderful wife are, are you married yet? Well, stop holding hands then. Get them off. Have you said yes yet? Anyway, we won't go there. Slip of the tongue. But let me tell you this. Is that as he opens up the promise to you again, there's going to be like a repositioning that comes in your life. There's going to be like a place where God will start to draw you to somewhere else. And it will take faith to do it. It'll be like, and people around you will be going, what the heck are you doing that for? Because isn't this, but there's a favor that God wants you to discover as you begin to move into the promise of God. And here's the thing, it's something you need to hear, not somebody else to tell you. You need to hear it. Because if you hear it, it'll come in here and it'll be real. You don't need someone else to prophesy it. You need to be hearing. It's important for you. What's your name? Nick. You look ever so familiar, though. It's weird. But this is the thing he wants to do, I believe. And this is where, you know, it takes a brave situation to do, a brave person to do, is to stand up and say, I'm ready in the midst of what doesn't look like the promises of God. What doesn't look like what has been spoken over my life, whether by somebody else or what I feel God has said to me. It looks like I'm going in the opposite direction to the promise. But I tell you this, if we can be fully carried by what God has said in our life, fully carried by what he has said, and dare to believe only what he has said, imagine what this town could look like. I'm tired of history being written by individuals. I'm tired of that. I love it, when I flick through the pages of history and see that individual, that individual, that individual. And yet when I look around me and I see that God loves the bride, the church, and that's the vehicle he has longed to use. In Ephesians 3:10, it said it's God's intent that through the church. Why can't he say, I'm telling you for certain, through the church? Why is it only his intent? Because we have to be people that capture the promises to become fully alive, to carry all that he has said. Why? Because the benefactors of it are going to be the town, the villages, the humanity around us. It can't stay in the four walls. So I believe what God wants to come tonight is to say, I want to come and bless those that are full of promise. And here's the thing. There ain't one person that's excluded to that, because we're all full of promises. We're all full. And we need to allow ourselves to get captured by them again. Have I got unfulfilled promises in my life? By my goodness me, I've got them by the shed load. But I'm determined again to blow the dust off them and find the God that spoke them into being over my life. Because I know if I get captured by these things again, man, what life could look like. This building is not it. But I want to tell you this, the town is it. The town is it. This is what it's about. It's a new era for you guys. Not because of Peter's appointment, but because God got you out of your six-year-old chairs and put you into adult chairs. Not so you can die slowly, but you can breathe life again. He had to get you out to get you moving. That's what he had to do, Marlo. Get you out to get you moving. He had to get you out to get you moving. And I believe it's time, I really do. And it's not because I'm nearly 50 I'm thinking this way anymore. It's because I do feel, do you know what? I'm tired of the golden carrot of promises. When I read scripture, it talks about being fulfilled promises. I want to start fulfilling the promises over my life. Because I know this. I know that I'll yield myself to God because he is the source. But I know there'll be benefactors. There'll be people who will benefit from this walk that I'll never know. Because it says of Abraham that he left footprints in the sand for you and I to step into. That's why he's the father of faith. That through his understanding of being fully carried by what God has said, it says that he's placed footsteps. So when we see loss, when we see barrenness, when we see this, you know what we do? We step into those footprints and say, yes, but this is the God who promises that there'll be no barren amongst us. Isn't that amazing? So if anybody's up for that, I want to pray, but you're going to have to stand. I just want you to just close your eyes a minute and just imagine what it would look like for you, for God to be stood before you now, speaking the things that he once spoke over your life. And then we have an opportunity to dare to believe in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the pain, to believe God. To believe God. To believe God, Karen, that you could walk the streets of Marlow every day and see someone encounter God. It's not impossible. God's given you a tremendous spirit of passion and boldness. The world needs it more than the church needs it, girl. We need it, but they need it more. And I know that God has given you ideas, spoken to you about things over the last 3 or 4 years particularly, that God just wants to rekindle again, and they may seem crazy, but you know what? You're crazy. So why try and be normal? But wouldn't it be amazing to believe them? So Father, come, like you did in those ancient days when you appeared as Melchizedek in the desert with an old man that was full of promise, and you came and you broke bread and wine with him. And then before you departed, you laid your hand upon his head and you blessed him that was full of promise. And so Father, I pray today that it'd be like you're walking amongst the people in this room right now. And Father, it'd be like you're putting your hand upon their head and you're speaking promise again into their lives. Some of those ancient words, some of those perhaps new words that need to be heard tonight. Touch in the parts that, Father, we dare not venture again, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. How can we really pray? It's been 30 years since we prayed. It's been 30 years since we've seen the miracle that we've been promised. But then a passage of time comes and Gabriel turns up and says, it's now. Your prayers have not only been heard, but they've been answered. And I pray that this is an era in this church of answered prayer, Father. I pray this is an era of, Father, where the promises begin to be fulfilled. That, Father God, they won't look at the new goldfish bowl that you've put within them and say, we'll just expand into this. But, Father, they'll look at the promises that take them beyond this bowl that you've given them. We thank you for this home that you have given them, but, Father, it's beyond. Because you promised them a town. You promised them villages. You promised them homes. You promised them schools. You promised them that one day the body of Christ would walk hand in hand together, and we're beginning to see it. So, Father, let it be this day. Let it be this day where the people of promise are revealed to this amazing town that you call Marlow. And let the river, the true river, Father, the river of life, flow from this place once again, Father. Let the new businesses be ignited again, Father. There is still another era of businesses to be released. There was always a call of entrepreneurship upon this church, and it's time for a new era of those to be released. It's time for new ideas. It's time for those that have been around for a while, those older ones that captured those visions years ago, to begin to release others. And I challenge you to throw your seed into the palms of these young entrepreneurs. I challenge you to make an investment and say, we believe in this promise. Father, the creativity that is so evident in this church. Father, we pray that it will break forth again like an infectious disease going through Marlow. That it will begin to touch the creativity that's hidden away in the houses, Father, in the businesses. Creative workshops, Father, will begin to be released again into this place, of giving the people the opportunity to express themselves. The schools of drama and arts will rise up again through this town. Well, how the heck are we going to do this in this building? Well, it's got nothing to do with the building. It's got everything to do with you. It's because the promise is in you. And so, Father, we just pray now that you bless every single person in this room tonight, because they're full of promise. Full of promise, Jesus. And I pray, Father, when they go home tonight, Lord, perhaps they'll break bread and wine together and say, come, the Holy One, and bless those that are full of promise. Today in Slough, I just want to end with this, and it'd be remiss of us not to do this, because we must, because we support one another. And I had this word for during the worship in Slough today, and it's just come back to mind tonight. And that is when the Lord takes the Israelites into the promised land and Miriam sings her beautiful song, A Deliverance. The first place they end up is a place where they're thirsty and can't drink the water. And it says in one translation that Moses went and got a tree and put it in the water. And the water suddenly turned clean. And then here's this thread again. Remember, there's threads that lead back to Jesus. And Peter talks about the cross as a tree. And you see, whatever circumstance we're in, let me tell you this, the answer is the cross. The answer is the resurrected Christ. And I believe there are bittersweet waters going on in people's lives here tonight, because it's life. It's not a word of knowledge. It's obvious. Get a room this size, you're bound to have one or two. But the truth is this, I really believe this, is that there are some here tonight, and I believe the Father wants to come and step into your situation, and what seems impossible, turn it right round. Because that's what the resurrected Christ does. And if that's you, we're going to pray for you before we close. We've got 10 minutes, there's enough of us around. If that's you, be honest tonight. Find someone or come up, whatever. And let's pray, and let's pray that the cross of Christ, the resurrected God, comes into your situation and turns it round. What about it? Are you up for it? Come on. So why don't we come? If there are people specifically, we don't need to pour it all out, but we're church to one another, we're family, we're brothers, we're sisters. It'd be remiss of us to send you home and not pray for you and say, do you know what, we believe that the cross of Christ, the resurrected Jesus, can make a difference in your life today. Find someone if you don't want to come up front, but I'll be here, I'll pray, I'm sure others will pray. There's a prayer ministry team. Well, why don't they come up? Why don't the prayer ministry team come up, whoever you are? Do you know? Do they know who they are? Yep.